On Monday's front page, a U.S. sergeant in Afghanistan killed 16 Afghan civilians, 9 of them children. Afghan President Hamid Karzai condemned the rampage, calling the shootings intentional murders. We'll look at how the chief financier of Egypt's Muslim Brotherhood is overseeing the country's transformation, and just how damaging are curveballs. New research takes issue with the idea that throwing curves is bad for pitchers' elbows. I'm James Baer, and all the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says a U.S. Army sergeant went from house to house firing on Afghan villagers as they slept. He killed 16 people, 9 of them women and children. President Hamid Karzai condemned the attack. President Obama and Defense Secretary Leon Panetta called Karzai, expressing condolences and promising investigations. A senior American military official says the sergeant had been part of what's called a village stabilization operation that sent teams of Green Berets out to develop close ties with village elders and track down Taliban leaders. The sergeant was not a Green Beret himself and had been deployed to either Iraq or Afghanistan at least once before. The attack reignited anger at the U.S. presence that had quieted down after a wave of protests over Americans burning Qurans. It also raised questions in Washington and Kabul about why American troops are still fighting in Afghanistan. Monday's Times says Herat al-Sharr has emerged as the most decisive voice in Egypt's Muslim Brotherhood. He's the group's main financier. He's also its chief policy architect, and he's the one who's negotiating with the current military rulers over their future roles. He's also grooming some 500 people who'll make up a government in waiting. Sharr has power he could only dream of when he was a prisoner in President Hosni Mubarak's jails. He says Islam requires democracy and free markets, and also tolerance of religious minorities. 2 weeks from now, the Supreme Court will begin hearing arguments on President Obama's health care law. A decision is expected by June, and Times reporter Adam Liptak says it will shape the legacy of Chief Justice John Roberts. He's 57 and could preside for another couple of decades, if not longer. But clashes like the one over the health care law come around only a few times in a century, and Roberts may well complete his time on the court without encountering another case that poses such fundamental questions about the structure of government. Scholars say there's only one way to strike down the law. That would be a 5-4 vote along ideological lines. But behind the scenes, Roberts may argue for a more cautious approach. Going into Tuesday's primaries in Alabama and Mississippi, Rick Santorum is fighting hard. A victory would mean more than just delegates. It would give the winner a claim on the Deep South. Santorum calls that the heart of conservatism. But Times reporter Campbell Robertson says the base in the Deep South is not as predictable as it once was. Polls say the race is a toss-up among the three leading candidates. Here in New York, the City Housing Authority has a problem. A third of the apartments in its public housing developments are underoccupied. The agency is trying to get tenants like Shirley Jones to downsize. She's lived in the same two-bedroom apartment for 40 years. She moved in with her son, but he's now grown up. Other housing agencies across the country are facing the same problem. Last year, 5,000 households here in New York signed up for smaller apartments, but only 600 actually made the move. Monday's Times looks at new studies that clash with long-held beliefs on curveballs. The latest research suggests curveballs pose no greater danger to young elbows than fastballs or changeups. Many studies say the greatest danger is simply throwing too many pitches of any kind. Inside Monday's Times, killings aimed at gay Iraqis and teenagers who dress in brash Western fashions are striking fear in Iraq's secular circles. This comes as Iraq is preparing to showcase itself as host of a high-profile meeting of Arab leaders. The news that young men in tight t-shirts and skinny jeans are being beaten to death threatens to overshadow that. Times reporter Jack Healy says the violence is a reminder that the Iraqi government has not stopped attacks on ethnic groups and social outcasts like gay men. Monday's Times looks at an advocate for addicts. The San Francisco Drug Union represents the political interests of chronic drug users as well as their practical needs. That's a grim agenda that involves more than tuning in, turning on, and dropping out. The union does everything from providing clean needles to finding safe places to nod off. Members say it's a job that requires first-hand experience because drug users are often wary of law enforcement and social service types. Robert Schuller's family has cut its ties with the Crystal Cathedral. That's the California megachurch he founded in the 1950s. Schuller retired 5 years ago, and the church filed for bankruptcy in 2010. His daughter, the Reverend Sheila Schuller Coleman, is now the head pastor. She announced during services on Sunday that it would be the last time any members of their family would preach there. She said the family will also stop taking part in the Hour of Power television program. At its peak, it delivered Dr. Schuller's message to 2 million viewers every week. That's our preview of Monday's Times. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.